In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Washington, what a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Howdy, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Vaughn? How you doing, buddy?
I'm just chilling, hanging out.
What time did you get to bed Sunday night?
Probably last night at about 9 p.m.
Oh, you just stay up all night?
Yeah, stay up, get an early workout. And, you know, the day's already started then.
I don't know how you do that.
What's it like trying to wind down after an NFL game? I mean, the adrenaline is
especially
going
if it's
through,
an 8:20
like,
kick.
What's that like, even if it's a 1 o'clock kick?
Hard for me.
Yeah, 1 o'clock is a little bit easier. You know, you can watch, you know, the Sunday night football game and, you know, kind of just like chill, grab some food and just kind of like relax. So, and, you know, when you're done at midnight, it's tough. Then an hour drive home. Yeah. Right. It's pretty tough.
Dude, I tweeted about you during the game because, you know, obviously we love having you on the show. And, you know, I know what a football guy you are and you know, your quest to be in the top 10 in sacks, whatever. And there was one play where you were hauling ass chasing. Who was he chasing? Cakes, the quarterback.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
Yeah, chasing Bo Nix to the sideline. And I was just laughing. I'm like, he's hauling ass trying to get him, just trying to do anything to get a sack. Do you remember what play I'm talking to? Was that as close as you got? Remind me.
No, it was a couple of plays. But yeah, I know he kind of rode out.
Right.
He kind of rode out to my left.
And I was like, he's never going to get him, but he is hauling ass trying to get him.
He's trying to make a football play.
I get it.
It's a football game.
But I feel like I'm with him because I know he's chasing these. He's trying to get these sacks. How many times, like, per game, how close do you get typically? If you don't get one or if you get one, how close do you actually get? Just like two or three opportunities, really, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I try to take advantage of, you know, all of my opportunities that I get, though.
Yeah.
Vaughn, what's been the biggest difference that you've seen over the last couple weeks in DQ calling the plays versus Joe?
You keep saying no difference.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think it is a difference. I thought they both, you know, I think they both do a great job, and I think, you know, I think they, you know, been in command of the defense. been in command of the team, you know, from DQ's perspective. I think they both do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's no question, though, that the execution at least seems like has been better the last few weeks, no?
Yeah, I mean, after you have a couple of tough, you know, games, you know, real men respond, and I think it's just a response of, you know, trying to play better, be better as a total defense.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, great opportunity this week. I know it's got to be wearing on you guys, but how important is it to just finally get a W
and stop the bleeding?
Yeah, and get some positive momentum going.
Yeah, I think y'all said it. Yeah. You know, you just want to get a dub and get the positive momentum flowing.
Right.
Is this the longest losing streak you've ever been part of?
Yeah, probably. I think so. I haven't done research on, you know, how many games I've.
I mean, you've been on a lot of great teams.
That's something I try not to think about, how many games did I lose.
I know. He's such a positive guy.
You're very positive.
That he's a positive guy.
Let me ask you this, and you may not answer it because you may not just want to talk about it publicly, but when you lose this many games in a row, does it kind of influence your decision to come back for another year next year maybe?
No, not at all. I love football, and I got next year on the books for sure.
Yeah, he said a couple weeks ago on his podcast.
So you're definitely coming back.
Oh, yeah, he definitely wants to come back.
Well, especially if he's chasing the sack numbers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, because he knows he's got those guys coming.
That's right.
Hey, Vaughn, yeah.
If they have me, I'll be back.
Right. I hate to stay on the topic of losing, but you took a major life out when you had to put on that burnt orange Texas jersey when you lost the bet to Sam Cosmi. I mean, you look like the unhappiest guy on the planet.
He looks like he's on death row.
Given the hook'em horns. You do not look happy in this picture.
Yeah, last week was a tough week for Von Miller. losing to UT and then losing to the Denver Broncos. Yeah, it was tough.
How many times did you lose to UT as a player?
Twice. We went 2-2.
2-2, okay.
Just to lighten it up for a second, what did Von Miller's Thanksgiving look like?
Oh, it was great. I had the kids in town. My nephews were here too. So all three of my nephews and my two boys was here. So it looked like we had a whole basketball team at the house. So
now, do you serve your chicken? Is that what you serve?
No, you got to do turkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had chicken and turkey.
Chicken and turkey.
We definitely had green and pastor chicken there for sure.
Yeah, of course. How could you not?
Right.
Of course.
Are you a gravy guy? Gravy on the turkey and or chicken?
I like smoked and fried turkey.
Okay.
And then, you know, the next day they make like that turkey salad out of the leftover turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't burn your house down leftover. Like frying the turkey. You take the proper precautions frying the turkey, right? You've seen all the videos online of like the rookies who defrost it.
And then what happens?
They throw it in the deep fryer and it explodes. It looks like Hiroshima. It's terrible.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, we made like a casserole with like fried and smoked turkey. Ooh. And that was like the highlight to me. We had a lot of good dishes, but to me the casserole the next day with fried and smoked turkey, it was incredible. Mm-hmm.
So Vaughn, what'd you think of the Broncos? Right now they're the one seed or the Patriots.
Seed. Yeah, the two seed,
but they're right there atop the AFC. Is that a team that you could see in the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, they got everything that you need. They got quarterback, coach, defense, offensive line, solid, good wide receivers, everything that you need to go all the way. They got it.
What about in the NFC? Like, who jumps out at you? Is the favorite at this point?
Right now, the Bears are the one seed.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears are playing good football, too. You know, I still think the Eagles have a great team. You know, this is something that they typically do throughout, you know, they have like these lulls and they end up coming back.
Right.
The NFC is strong too.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I mean, the Eagles are obviously struggling right now, lost a couple in a row and lost to the Bears on Friday. But I just wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs because of what they have and because of what happened last year.
Yeah, they got a solid team. Same setup as the Denver Broncos. Coach, quarterback, offensive line straight, defense is solid as well.
So I don't know if you saw Jaden practicing. I guess he did some limited work. DQ said he still hasn't been cleared, but he's ripping the ball. I know you get a bunch of days off. You get those vet days, so I don't know how much you've seen. But from what you've seen and what you've heard, in the back of your mind, are you expecting Jaden to play this week?
I don't know, man. I know they do a great job with Jaden and, you know, getting him back. You know, and I know the type of competitor that he is. You know, if he's able to play, he'll play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to start looking at the Vikings?
Oh, no, I haven't. Usually I'll start working on, the next team, like right after the game. Like that Denver Broncos loss, it stung a little bit.
Oh, really?
I started working on those guys today.
Are there plays that like haunt you? What when you can't get past a game, like are there specific plays that you think about? And if so, which ones?
No, not specific plays. I think we did as best we could offensively, defensively, and on special teams. Like, losing a game is tough in general, but like, you know, 2-point conversion when we had a chance to win it is just, you know, hard to let it go a little bit.
Right. Why were they so successful on that one drive in overtime? I mean, you guys played so well defensively, and defensively, you know, I thought you guys deserved to win the game, maybe even offensively too. You know, I mean, just a really well-played game, very entertaining from a fan's perspective. But it was a little bit frustrating that they were able to go down and score seemingly so easy in overtime.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, we did the same thing too. In overtime. So
yeah.
You know, we had some penalties, but you know, that pass to Terry and the pass to Debo like was incredible. You know, Marcus played an incredible game.
It was obvious to us, to the fans, and it's probably one of the few games you've had it because Terry hasn't played that much. How impactful Terry is to this team? Can you describe it at all from your perspective?
Yeah, he's just a lightning rod. Like, you know, he just makes simple plays look extraordinary. And, you know, it was a slant that he had that he caught at 5 yards and he broke some tackles and ended up, like, on the 2-yard line. Like, you know, that's, you know, he definitely was missed. You know, this whole season he was missed and it was good to, you know, have him back.
Right.
Hey, Vaughn, I'm just going to call your shot for you. This might be a 2-plus sack game for you this weekend.
Well, if Brosmer plays, too.
J.J. McCarthy, in 3 of his 6 starts, has been sacked 6, 5, and 5 times. Might be a banner day for Von Miller.
Yeah, I need that. I need that for sure.
Yeah, you do.
I'm sensing it. I think it's going to happen.
Well, Tim, or what's the other guy's name?
Max Brosmer. If Brosmer plays, I don't know, you might get 2 sacks and 2 picks.
Yeah. That could definitely happen.
We don't want bulletin board material.
Nope. Right. Nope. All right.
All right, Vaughn, all right. We appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Best of luck against the Vikings. We'll talk to you soon, man.
See you, Vaughn.
All right, appreciate you.
That was Vaughn Miller. You can listen to his podcast, Free Range, on the Odyssey app. Or download.
He wasn't
it
very talkative.
That was his least enthused.
He wasn't very talkative today.
He said that Broncos lost a lot out of him.
Yeah. He must have.
Well, he also doesn't sleep when he has these games.
Well, he's been on
he goes like a 48-hour sleep deal.
All night bender of no sleep, and then Orange just kicked your ass all week.
Yeah.
Orange his former team.
Yeah, he's how destroyed he was putting on a Texas uniform. Then he had to take a picture.
Well, I'm sure he was.
Given the horns. Ooh. Oh.
That was by far
had
his least enthused.
He was not
into it. Let's just be honest.
You know what? Yes. We should have asked him more about the turkey dinner.
He's a nice guy.
He was not.
He didn't want to talk about the game or the season.
He didn't want to talk about wearing the Texas
uniform. He
wanted
to talk about smoked turkey.
And here's the thing. We can ask him about the DQ thing, and we did this, you know, you were gone the last 2 weeks. Yeah. He's not going to throw his coaches under the bus.
He's not going to throw anybody on the bus. And he is a positive guy.
No, but I just asked him what the difference was, schematically, if there's any difference.
Says there's no difference. Even though they're playing like 100% zone now, no, like he says there's no difference.
Right.
Yeah, for him, he just see quarterback, go after quarterback.
Yeah, that's his mission.
Probably not that much of a difference.
He said it last week. He's like, I'm a 3 points bet. Like, I just do one. I just go out there and I just do.
He's just looking for sacks.
I was hoping you guys would ask him if he knew how to pronounce Marcus's last name.
Mariota. Yeah, he's probably completely oblivious.
I'm gonna guess the next announcers don't pronounce it that way. Whoever has the call this weekend of Commanders Vikings.
I can only imagine
the announcing team for that game.
They were mimicking what he did, right?
Yes.
He's the guy that really that we should be grilling.
It's his fault.
Why are you making a big deal about your name now?
Yeah.
Why don't you do it 10 years ago?
Drama queen.
Much like he went back to Bish from being Lurch.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to start calling him Joe Thiesman now? No. Are we going to start calling him Joe Thiesman?
Of course.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You know, it's my nickname really has been Valdez, not Valdez. You guys have been botching it for 15 years.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right. All right, we're the Jucks. We'll be right back.
Finley 106.7 The Fan. It's high noon in the District of Columbia. And we're fired up for our weekly Paisanos Players Chat with our guy, Sam Cosmi. Sam, what's up, dude? How are you?
What's up, fellas?
I want to start with an interesting question. Yeah, this one's going to catch you by surprise, I think. Over the weekend, somebody in France stole $100,000 worth of escargot. I am not accusing you of that. I know where you were this weekend. However, if you could steal $100,000 worth of food, what would it be?
Steaks.
I kind of figured it would be that.
Yeah, 100%. Some exotic or like Wagyus or something like that.
That's what B said was Wagyu. Sure.
I said it. Yeah. Hey, because you know what? You don't need as much when you're getting Wagyu. It's gonna go away quick.
No, yeah, and you can freeze it.
Yes.
You know, that's the beautiful part about that, you know? So, yeah, it'll last you a while.
Speaking of, listen, obviously Sunday night was some heartbreak, but let's start with something you enjoyed on Saturday night. Texas A&M. You don't post often, but you did post a picture of Von Miller wearing your Texas uniform. How sweet was that, and how did that go with Von, getting him to pay off that bet?
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of had this early in the year. We've been talking about it, you know, and it was just a quick little, you know, hey, my team wins, your team wins, whatever jersey, college jersey. So I kind of took it as like a win-win for me. You know, like it would suck if Texas have lost, but I get to wear a Von Miller Texas A&M jersey for a day. That's pretty cool. You know, yeah. I don't know if it's as cool for him for a Sam Cosby Texas jersey, but yeah, I mean, that was kind of the bet, and my guys were able to pull it off, and it was you know, I thought Von looked good in burnt orange, so.
Yeah. I think I don't know that you weren't around then, but many years ago, Sam, Maryland and Texas played a home and home, and somehow the Terps beat the Longhorns twice. And at that point, Colt McCoy was playing for the Skins, and Colt and I had the Maryland Texas jersey bet, which was all upside for me because nobody thought on the planet that Maryland would win, and they did. And when Colt put on my Maryland t-shirt, you could see the pain in his heart having to deal with that as everybody took pictures. Do you remember that at all?
No, I don't. But that sounds awesome to be on. Like, for your perspective of just like, I kind of got to witness that with Vaughn. I mean, you can look in the picture. He was not happy to put on that burnt orange.
A lot of angst on his face, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this week's game. Just heartbreak. That one really had to be tough. How you feeling a couple days later?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from our standpoint, I felt like, you know, we gave it all we got, you know, like it was a hard fought game on both sides of the ball. You know, I feel like we played really good ball all through and through, you know. You're never going to play a perfect game. But you know, like we played really hard. You know, and it how close it is to winning that game. And we saw the last play, and you know, I think it was J-Mac was wide open.
Yeah,
you know, just batted ball. Just, you know, it's just that close. A lot of these games are that close, and you know, props to Denver. They've been able to, you know, win in the fourth quarter and over to close games, and You know, props to them. They're a really good football team, and they've been doing a heck of a job, and especially in the fourth quarter and those big time moments. So, hats off to them.
I totally agree with you. I thought that was a heavyweight fight, and you guys just traded haymakers throughout. They were able to make one more play, and I loved the decision by Dan Quinn to go for two there as a player on the field. Was that what you were hoping would be the call?
I mean, in that situation, we know we're going for two. So, we're going to we have the belief and utmost confidence that we're going to have to go for two. Yeah.
And when you look at that play, it was blocked perfectly, wide open. Do you take any solace in the fact that, look, they made the right call, just didn't get it there?
Yeah, like I said, you know, like made the right call, you know, on paper, X's and O's, it looks good. But that means we're all individuals and, you know, they have playmakers and their playmakers and people make a play. So, you know, like I said, X's and O's go so far, player's going to make plays, and that's what he did.
Specifically for you guys, I thought the O-line was fantastic in that game. And, you know, I don't know that you know this, but DQ came out yesterday and said he thought that was your best game back since the injury. How do you feel you played? How do you feel the O-line played?
Yeah, you know, from an individual standpoint, I felt really good. You know, for me, like every week, you know, just personally, you know, my knees getting stronger and back in the groove, you know, like it's not a, hey, you're back, you're 100% healthy. It's, hey, you're still working through some things. Like, you know, for an injury like mine, it takes up to a year to fully, or 2 years to really 100%, you know, heal. So I've been battling, you know, doing all that. And yesterday I felt really good. I felt like myself again. And so that's really good that I was able to display that. And, you know, they were able to see that. And then the O-line, man, we battled our asses off. We knew what we had to do. They had a good unit. We had a great, you know, game plan, and, you know, for the majority of the day, we won our 1-on-1. So hats off to our guys for putting in the effort and working hard and all the preparation we put in. So, yeah.
Sam, you're next to a young guy, and, you know, I see him improving as the year goes on. What are your thoughts on what Connolly has done so far?
Yeah, you know, like, I think he's gained that confidence in himself. You know, in the National Football League, it's one of the biggest thing for you is to have that confidence in yourself, you know. And, you know, and he's been also, you know, the third guard he's been with, you know, this year too. So, you know, he's a young player. He's talented, like I've said before. And yeah, I think you kind of see he's starting to get in a groove. And he's learning. He's absorbing knowledge. That's, you know, rookie year, that's all you're doing. I remember my rookie year and all the stuff that I was trying to balance and figure out and do all that. I mean, it's just a whirlwind of things you have to learn, you know. And for him, I think he's done a phenomenal job growing from, you know, his mistakes and understanding that, you know. And, you know, like that hold that he had in the game. I just remember as that play went, I'm like, you got to pass, you got to move on, like, next play. And the next play, you know, made a heck of a block, and we got the ball down to Debo, and I was like, it's a race, you're good. You know, that's the whole thing about next play mentality, you know. So, you know, I've been pretty proud of how he's been able to learn and really absorb his knowledge and become better each and every week.
Yeah, it's certainly been impressive. And I don't know that you saw this. Connerly threw 12 games, the only player on that offense to take all 100% of the snaps. Biotis is right behind him at like 99.6, but pretty impressive for a rookie, man.
For sure, for sure. I for me, I'm really happy. I get, you know, the ability to, you know, be there for him, help him through this process, and obviously see his growth. So it's pretty cool.
Now it's time for our Paisanos Players Chat with our guy Sam Cosmi. But first, no one appreciates 106.7 The Fan listeners more than our friends at Paisanos. And they're proving it. Score 30% off any order of $30 or more with promo code FAN30. You can load up on pizza, wings, pastas, salads, whatever you're craving by using promo code FAN30 at checkout. Paisanos is not just pizza, but something for everyone. PaisanosPizza.com. Dude, so I heard some folks in the background there. Are you at the facility right now?
Yeah, I'm getting treatment as we talk right now this week.
Like, what is that? You getting on your knee or what?
Yeah, knee. Just anything else that's kind of bothering me. But yeah, primarily the knee right
maintenance.
Now.
Maintenance.
Annual maintenance.
Maintenance.
Weekly
maintenance. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, my daughter calls me Humpty Dumpty. So.
Dude, speaking of your daughter, how is mom? How we doing with baby watch?
Yeah, you know, like, again, it's every day is like, are you ready? I don't know. We'll see. I'm just waiting for that phone call, or hey, we're already packed up whenever that comes. But like I said, it could be any day, any week. I don't know. It's right around the corner.
Oh yeah, they come when they're ready.
With I don't know what players do, and I think it's totally reasonable for everybody to handle it differently. Do you even have the discussion of like, okay, because this is the last real long road trip left going to Minnesota. Everything else is just the farthest you're going is New York and Philly. Do you just say, all right, let's just get through this week and we'll figure the rest of this out?
Yeah. I mean, try to get through the week. We kind of talked about, hey, you know, obviously game time decisions and stuff like that. But like, for the most part, I'm like, hey, babe, like, you know, at this time, I'm playing the game. Like, but like, I'll try to make it there before and then hurry up, but I'm playing in the game. So, yeah, we've kind of talked about it, you know, and figuring out, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, fingers crossed he comes at a good time where none of that has to happen.
Sure. You know, just so you know, I'm committed too, Sam. I was blogging in the delivery room while my wife was recovering. So I understand the commitment.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
I made it from Kansas City to the delivery room.
You were on a free agent visit, too.
I was on a free agent visit, and I told Marty, I said, I got to go, dog.
Yeah,
he said, what do you mean? I say, wife calls, I'll talk to you later. Yeah. I got to go.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Sam, what's it like a week like this? And I thought, dude, the guts Mariota showed Sunday night was incredible. You know, on some of those design runs, he was taking some big licks. And I know what you guys believe in with Marcus, and I know what you guys believe in with Jaden. What's it like on a week where there's some question, at least publicly, maybe privately that's different, but there's some question who's going to get the start Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I think the great part about our situation is that, you know, regardless of Jaden or Marcus, we have faith in both of those quarterbacks. I think that's pretty rare to have a backup quarterback that, you know, everybody, you know, you can plug him in and the whole team has faith in him, you know. And, you know, Marcus has put that on display countless, you know, times. And you know, he plays hard, like we've all seen. And you know, I mean, that one fourth down, the pass interference, I mean, he was just doing everything he could to fight to get that ball out. And, you know, gave us a chance, and they got a PI. I mean, you know, if he just stops and just, you know, gets tackled there and doesn't fight, you know,
totally,
game's over, you know? So, yeah. Like, he just countlessly just puts it on display every time he's on the football field.
So, I don't know how much, like, when you're in the huddle, especially late in the game, play call comes in. I don't know that you think about the play call or just, like, think immediately about your assignment, but I got to ask you one specific. So late in that game, in regulation, you guys are driving to tie it up. That was an incredible drive. I mean, just the guts you guys showed on an 18-play field goal drive. But it was, I want to be sure I get this right, 3rd and 3, you're down 3, and I don't know if it was the designed quarterback run. It sure seemed like it was, where you're out of the shotgun and Mariota takes off to the left. Was that the play call for him to run for that first down? Were you like, oh my God, what if he gets tackled inbounds? We're going to have a lot of trouble. Like, what's going through your head in that moment?
Yeah, so normally it's not, I'm not thinking of anything like that. I'm whatever they call, we run it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So... there's very few times where they have a call out there and I'm thinking to myself, like, what the heck, you know, but like, you know, but like he said, hey, we're going to run. And then Marcus, I think on that specific play, made a great play to get out of bounds.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I, you know, like I said, they call it, we run it. So that's just the mentality we have. And like I said, Marcus was able to make a play to get out of bounds. Yeah, I like, you know, in those type of situations where it's very high tense, you just got to really just focus it and zone in on your assignment and what you're doing and what they call it, you know?
Totally.
So.
Yeah.
What kind of lift does having Terry back on the field give you guys?
Oh, everybody loves Terry. I just having him on the field and his presence and just his positivity, you know, just, and his personality too. I mean, I you know, you can have guys that have, like, for a guy like him to be a star and have a, you know, kind of like a star, I don't know, like wide receiver mentality. He's just so down to earth and we just all love him, you know, like, dude's a great guy. Like, and anytime he's out there and seeing his energy and the energy he brings to the team and the plays he makes, I mean, it was so nice to have him back out there.
Playmaker.
We're,
so, he hits the ground running, man.
Totally. I mean, for you as an O-lineman, that life's all about physicality, and to see a receiver that plays with that physicality, does it stand out?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's nice because it's like, you know, we're able to, you know, our job is to make, you know, block the guys that we need to block in order to make our playmakers make a play. And to see him put the effort and the physicality he does, it just makes his block even harder for sure.
So I was curious, on a personal level, just, you know, I've covered Terry like you, like I've known you guys since you're drafted. The touchdown throw in overtime goes to Terry, called back on the penalty. I was really happy he then caught it on 4th down. Does that make any sense that he still got in the end zone there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, that's. I thought Debo scored on the play. I didn't know he scored, but yeah. Yeah,
and then they moved it to the two. I was like, "How did he get to the two? He was at the goal line."
And he hit.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things in that game that was just kind of like we're just standing around waiting them making decisions. It was a very interesting game.
Well, I'll say it for you so you don't get fined. The refs were god awful in that game.
Yeah, the what's it called intentional grounding. Yeah, with a receiver standing right there. Yeah, right. Okay.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I don't know. You know, they made calls. You gotta live with it. I can't say much more.
You don't have
to. Don't worry. I'll say it. B-Man said it. Not him. Not Sam.
Yeah. Sam, as always, dude, we appreciate you. We appreciate the time. Rest up, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Commanders right guard Sam Cosmi had a tremendous game against Denver. You like to think that O-line blocks like that against Minnesota might be coming home with a dub. That was our weekly Paisanos Players Chat with Sam Cosmi.
It's Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt joining us on Grant and Danny. Bill, good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well.
How y'all doing?
I got to say, even though it was a loss in overtime, that was a super entertaining, fun game on Sunday night. What was it like to play in that one, a one-point overtime game, taking on one of the best teams in the NFL?
It was definitely exciting. You like games like that. Especially when it's that competitive, and I mean, you just want to capitalize and win it. So definitely hurt not to come out on top. But I mean, that's what you like, those competitive games, and just seeing the fight in your team. Like you just needed to come out on top.
Their defense is really, really good, but you guys were able to move the football, score some points, do what not a lot of teams have done to them this year. How were you guys able to find so much success on the ground, Bill?
Just not trying to make nothing up, basically. just sticking to our routine and like just executing. I feel like that was the main thing that helped the run game. And I mean, guys was just on point with what we needed to do.
Yeah, 142 rushing yards in the game. When you go Mariota's 55, Rodriguez had 41, McNichols had 30. You added 20 on your four carries, and you had a really nice 12-yard run that looked like earlier this season when you were going at peak, where you bounce it back to the right, you find some space and get downhill. Did that feel like, you know, how you were going when you were grooving early in the year? That had to feel good.
Yeah, it definitely did. For me to go out there and like just create an explosive play, that definitely felt good, for sure.
That's such a good pass rushing group over there in Denver. They came in leading the league in sacks. What did you guys have to do as running backs just to make sure that they didn't get to Marcus?
They have so many different looks, so we just had to make sure we know like who was who and like who was our guy, and like just basically a lot of film study, because they can disguise things so well. So it was basically just locking in more on film and understanding what they like to do on defense and who they like to bring.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt with us on Grant and Danny. To that point along those lines, the Vikings are one of the most blitz-happy teams in the NFL. Brian Flores is dialing up blitzes from the parking lot. He gets off the bus. I mean, they blitz more than anybody. What kind of film study is this for you, just to be in that backfield, to know where things are coming from? They're going to do exotic stuff you haven't seen. Like, how do you prepare for a team that blitzes as much as the Vikings and Flores?
I would say just knowing who my ID is, who my guy is, and just knowing my assignment on this play right here, and basically just staying true to my read, even though they may give us these different looks and try to disguise it as something else. But it's basically just making sure you just stay disciplined until you read, and like just got to trust everybody to do their job. Which you and the O-line just have to be on the same page.
In terms of being on the same page, is it hard to have different quarterbacks kind of come in and out? I know Marcus has played a bunch, and hoping Jaden plays with us this weekend or coming up soon. Do you have to prepare differently at all for different cadences or different tendencies with each guy? Is it a challenge to kind of have different quarterbacks?
I wouldn't say it's a challenge for me. I think both of the guys run the system the same, so it's really not a difference, like, about who's at quarterback. So I feel like we all get the calls the same. So it's really not a huge difference. You just gotta know your assignment, and like just communicating the calls with the O-lines and the quarterback, basically, so we can understand what protection we in.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt of the Commanders. They're 3-9 going to Minnesota, trying to end a 7-game skid. Kind enough to join us here on G&D. Give us a couple of minutes on the Fan. Bill, as far as Terry McLaurin's game goes, it just felt like a good reminder of what he's capable of. You know, all year long we've talked about the injuries, and dating back to the summer, the holdout was such a big story. But that was a grown man performance. I mean, was that a reminder for you guys, too, of just how much he can impact things and how different things are when he's out there?
It was great to have him out there, but we definitely know what type of player he is already. So it was good just to see him just back on the field with us. It was definitely exciting to see him make the catches that he had, and like just him even being physical after the catch, and like just his presence made things fun out there, for sure.
Speaking of physical, Ja'Cory, you're playing a lot of games, man. This is a long NFL season. It's a grind. I know, you know, through no fault of your own, you didn't get to play as many games in college last year, certainly. How's your body holding up? How are you feeling mentally? Where are you?
I feel like everything's going smooth. Good. Body's feeling great. Just making sure I can take care of it week in and week out. So body is feeling good, and like mentally wise, I mean, it's a long season, but you know, you just gotta stay focused and take it one day at a time, and like not look too far ahead, and just attack every day the same. So I mean, I feel like I'm handling it pretty smooth. I don't think it's nothing too much that I can't carry.
Bill, we'll let you out on this one, but I just wanted to get your thoughts. I hadn't talked to any players about this since game night. The two-point conversion to try to go for the win instead of tying it and extending overtime there. Danny and I were both cool with it. I loved it. I thought it was the only decision, but I'd be curious to hear from you. Like, did you guys know the whole time if you got down there you were going to go for two and go for the win? And what was your reaction to that?
Man, I loved it. I mean, I really didn't know, but whatever his decision was, we was ready to go out there and execute the play. So, I mean, it was whatever he called, we was going to be fine with it. But we was okay with going with two, for sure.
Hey, let me sneak in one more, because Hard Knocks is tonight on HBO, and I'm so excited. The Redskins, Commanders, football team, whatever they've been called, has never been on this show, and I've wanted this. So many of us have wanted this for years. Have you noticed the cameras? Like, have they sat down and done interviews with you? Just how involved have they been, or intrusive or otherwise, has that process been? And are you excited to see what it becomes here on HBO for Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the cameras around, and like it's cool just to like. I mean, you grew up watching the Hard Knocks, and now they're here. But yeah, we definitely noticed the cameras around, and like I haven't been on one yet. I haven't sat down and done an interview with them yet, but it's definitely different just having like a film crew around and like cameras in the meeting rooms and stuff like that.
You gonna watch yourself tonight?
Yeah, for sure.
I would too, buddy.
What time do it come on?
9 o'clock tonight on HBO.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check it out.
If you don't have HBO Max, text me. I'll give you my login.
All right, I got you.
Jay, if it asks you, we live in the same family. It's me, you, and cousin.
I bet.
All right, if you want, you can add cousin's little decal right there. It could be a little puppy right on my HBO Max account.
Nah, I got you. Appreciate that.
All right, you just got to give me your Hulu or something like that.
We can definitely spot something out.
I'm just messing with you. All right, Bill. No, be good,
man. I know.
good catching up.
No.
All right, enjoy.
See you, buddy.
There's Ja'Cory Crosby Merritt. It's Bill season.
Bill season.
Grant and Danny every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Hard Knocks tonight, 9 p.m.
Ben Standing is with us, but before we bring Ben on, let me just, because I could have been wrong in terms of what Paulie was saying. Paulie blamed it on the coaching and said, why are we, such a heavy pass first team? Is that what he said? I think he said that, right?
Something to that effect, yeah.
I just looked it up. Washington right now, 25th in the league in pass-to-run ratio. There are 24 teams that pass it a lot more than they run it. Washington's at 53.16 pass percentage for the season, 46.84 runs. They have the 10th most run attempts in the NFL, despite having one of the worst time of possessions in the NFL. And yes, I do understand that a lot of the rushing yardage, it's true, comes from Jaden when he was playing and Marcus Mariota scrambles. That's true. But it is not the pass over run in terms of the rest of the league. Maybe that's not what Paulie meant. Maybe Paulie wanted them to be dead last in that side. Seattle is the only team in the league that runs it more than they throw it. They're at 51.14% run, 48.86% pass. Everybody else is a little bit, is it anywhere from a lot pass to run, like Cincinnati, to, a little bit Seattle and Buffalo. But Washington is 25th, or in run to pass ratio, they would be eighth in the league. Just, again, some of that scrambles, but it is scrambles for a lot of teams, actually, on this list, too. All right, let's bring Ben Standing on. Ben, of course, covers the team, and he does so for himself and Last Man Standing, the podcast, and Substack, the column that he writes, as I've said many times before. Ben's intuition and the way he sees it is as good as anybody on the beat, and he is back with us in his normal spot of Monday. He's with us on Fridays as well. So you were there last night. We'll start with what we always start with on a Monday after the game. What were your big takeaways?
Well, first off, you know, we've all been subjected to this season, which is now 3-9, 7 losses in a row. And for most of it, you know, during this losing streak, it's been god-awful football to watch. At least from the pure entertainment value, everybody got their money's worth last night. That was a highly entertaining game. I'm sure even on TV it was crazier just because, you know, it's a different deal than working during it. But, you know, that the fourth quarter was nuts. The overtime was crazy. Just Washington's drive with a touchdown, call back, penalty on Denver. Like, there was just so much happening there. So I think from that perspective, it was a lot of fun. And I know we've been saying it would be cool for them to get a win just so we could have a different topic to discuss. Unfortunately, that part didn't happen. I think that the guys were incredibly bummed, as you can imagine, being that close. But yet at the same time, I think there was a certain amount of pride that popped up that they were, you know, I don't want to say optimistic, but like, you know, hey, this was more in line of what we think we can be. And the fact that it came with Terry McLaurin back on offense, it changed. You know, we've talked about this for weeks, starting with the Bears game, which was the first loss in this losing streak. That was the game where the Bears changed up their defense, you know, went man on the outside, dared Washington to throw it down the field because they didn't worry about their receivers. Crowded the box, took away Zach Ertz's stuff over the middle, and made this offense just so flat. The difference with Terry in there was just obvious. Even Zach Ertz was apparently said something to McLaurin that he was thrilled that he was there because he was able to get open a lot more. So, I mean, that was notable. I think defensively, you know, look, we can always, you know, nitpick on certain things, or, you know, Bobby Wagner giving up the big play to Evan Engram in overtime and all that, but for the second game in a row with Dan Quinn, it felt to me like they were much more connected. Yeah, you know, again, there's always some mistakes, whatever, but every team has something. It did not feel like a team that was disconnected the way it had been for much of the season. So I think all those things are positive. Again, you know, I don't consider moral victories in pro sports, so I don't want to sound overly praiseworthy for when they lost, but clearly it was a much better performance, an entertaining game. And, you know, I thought they would lose, but to me the hope was that if Denver's offense is just inconsistent, that's the door for Washington, that Washington can go through. The fact that they were able to move the ball as well as they did against Denver's defense for the most part, I thought was a bit surprising. A good job, good effort, but ultimately, you know, they're still looking for that win.
Yeah, more than a bit surprising. It was basically the most productive day against Denver's defense by any team not named Indianapolis in week two. I mean, that's how good they were. You know, 419 yards, 30 first downs, 8 of 17 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down. They ran 85 total plays. I understand there's overtime to contribute to that and a long overtime drive that contributed to that. But, yeah, this was the surprise. And I've given Cliff Kingsbury a lot of credit. Look, the players, Terry being back was massive. Marcus Mariota was an absolute gunslinger down the stretch. Rodriguez and the running game was a major factor. The offensive line held up in part because there was a lot of quick game, but not late. There was more drop back late. But it was that to me last night. I thought, now look, the score was 20-17 late in the game. I thought it was going to be a 23-20 kind of a game if Washington was going to have a chance one way or the other. Went to overtime 27-26. I did not think it would come because the offense was unstoppable moving the football. I thought it might come because Bo Nix coughs one up, you know, once or twice during the game. So that was the big surprise to me as well. And for those that have been calling for everybody to be fired, and I know it's a minority of you, I know that most of you don't feel that way, and those of you that have been particularly focused on Cliff Kingsbury, it does make a difference when you've got a few of your better players back. And I think, Ben, they'd be 2-0 in these last two games had Jaden played, and I thought Mariota played well in both of them.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, just to focus on Mariota, I know you and I have talked about before the idea of, you know, they need to keep him for next year. Do that now. Like I mean, the whole point of a backup quarterback. Yeah.
Yep.
The whole point of a backup quarterback is, does he give you a puncher's chance and then some if he has to come into the game? We all logically understand that the backup isn't the starter. You're right, Jaden. They're going to be better with Jaden Daniels on the field than Mariota. But he has more than given them excellent performances as a backup in these last two seasons. And, you know, I don't want to say where would they be without him this year, but, you know, if you look around the league to the, you know, to other backup quarterbacks, you know, it's a far superior effort. Obviously, the defense has been the biggest culprit during this losing streak. So, yeah, Mariota played very well. By the way, I don't know how to say his name anymore. I guess it was such a big deal on TV, and I don't even know how to say it.
What are you talking about?
Mariota?
Mariota. I think it's Mariota. I used to say Mariota, and people corrected me and said it's Mariota. What was the thing on TV, though, that you're talking about? I missed it.
Mariota.
Yeah. I wasn't watching, but yes, I think Mike Tirico was pronouncing it in a very peculiar way. I had multiple people texting me. We were discussing it because it was all over Twitter, social media. So anyway, yeah, it was.
How was he pronouncing it? Mariota?
Yeah, there was a very hard emphasis on that T in Mariota.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
So I feel like I know we'll be asking him a question this week on that.
I wonder if he would consider signing, you know, a 2-year contract extension right now. Or do you think, I mean, we've talked about him so many times. Like, his whole thing is just different. He may not want to be a starter. He had some real issues in Philadelphia. His career, he thought, was coming to an end. There were a lot of, you know, issues beyond just football that he was dealing with, and he loves it here, and they love him here. Do you think if they came to him and said 2-year contract extension, whatever the money is, you think he'd sign it, or do you think he wants a chance to start again?
I think he would take it. The only way I could see him saying delaying is if he were to think, hey, Cliff Kingsbury might move somewhere else. And maybe he feels more connected to Cliff Kingsbury being into the system. And if Cliff Kingsbury is going somewhere, either he would be the same kind of backup or the mentor to a rookie or something like that. Again, obviously, whether Kingsbury is going to get a job, you know, I don't know that that's going to happen this time. That would be my only thought. Other than that, he seems incredibly comfortable here. You know, he's the rare athlete who you can see. It's not wearing emotions on his sleeve, but you can see him sort of battling his own insecurities out there. There's a connection to him. It's not like all alpha with him, which is rare for a lot of athletes. So you can feel that his comfort level as a human being is much better here. The only other thing I would imagine is obviously he's from Hawaii, played college on the West Coast. Does he want to be closer to his people? That would be the other thing. But, you know, I presume he probably could have looked into that more this offseason and pass. So I think if everything were to stay the same, I think he would probably sign up for this, I would bet.
Yeah, I would bet that too. We're talking to Ben Standing at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. They appeared to get out of last night's game relatively unscathed health-wise, which is unusual. Is that accurate?
I think so. You know, obviously the questions, there were so many questions about the game that, you know, and all the things that went happened, but I don't know if Dan Quinn gave us any kind of breakdown. But other than, like, there was one point Percy Butler was getting checked for a concussion, then he went back in. Other than that, there was no... not that I remember any announcement about it, any kind of an injury. So, you know, Terry said that he went in with a snap count of like around like 25, which, you know, he kind of laughed at. He's like, look, I know if the game is going to be close, I'm blown through that. He obviously did. But, you know, he sounded like he felt a little winded at times, you know, having not played in a while. But, you know, hey, when the game's on the line like that, you got to give it all you can. Nobody can argue that he didn't do that last night and then some. So, yeah, I think, you know, unless something cropped up you know, overnight or somebody played through an issue, you know, I don't know of any new injuries, which is, you know, rare for this team.
So what do you think the chances of Jaden Daniels returning Sunday in Minnesota are?
I guess the question is he cleared for contact? You know, I asked Dan Quinn this week, if he is cleared for contact, is that all you need to hear for him to play? And, you know, he kind of deferred, like, well, you know, we can't get to the next step before we get through this one. So, you know, is he cleared for contact? I think that's the that's going to be the big question. You know, I don't even know, man. I've lost my all these injuries and when they're going to come back. I think there's a decent chance just because he practiced all week for sure. But, you know, we hear Dan Quinn say this all the time. We're not going to skip a step and all that. Well, on this player in particular, I don't think they're going to. So if he's cleared for contact and can go this week without issue, then I imagine he plays. But, you know, we got to see what the medical staff has to say about that. And look, I think if we're being realistic, they've got to be looking at this Minnesota game as the game to end this streak. Because whether it's J.J. McCarthy coming back or Brosmer, who obviously looked like a train wreck yesterday, you know, they've got to feel the way they're playing. They've played the last two games, particularly on defense, that they've got a real shot. So, you know, they could probably feel that way whether regardless of which one of them is a quarterback. But getting Jaden against this team, Minnesota, in theory, has a good defense. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba didn't do much yesterday.
Oh, they've got a very good defense and a well-coached defense. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. For sure. But, I mean, I think this would be all – you don't have to worry about a soft landing spot for Jaden, but at the same time, you know, this would feel like a good opportunity to go for the win, and if that means playing him if he's cleared, then, yeah, I could see it happening.
I mean, let me just mention to everybody, Washington is favored at Minnesota next week right now by 1 point. I see 1.5s out there. Why would it be – I actually would have guessed that it would have been one or two either way. But the reason for it is that Washington's defense, the odds makers look at and say, okay, well, Miami and Denver, they still rolled up yards. And Miami missed, obviously, multiple times in the red zone and had some self-defeating moments in the red zone. And Denver rolled up 400-plus yards on this defense and went through it like a sieve in overtime. And so this would be, for Minnesota, the get-right game for its offense. That's the way they would probably view it. And they're probably right. Seattle is not the get-right game or the introduction to the NFL for Max Brosmer. It would have been a much softer landing spot for Brosmer to face this defense next week in Minneapolis if he was going to play. But the return of Jaden obviously is going to help. They're going to play another really good defensive team, not Denver. But Minnesota is coached well defensively with Brian Flores, and they were, you know, they did a good job on Seattle. It was the turnovers that made the score lopsided, and the fact that Minnesota couldn't score. But Sam Darnold barely threw for 100 yards in the game against Minnesota's defense. Just keep that in mind as well. What else? I was going to ask you, did you have any strong feelings about some of the decisions that were made? Like, let's just start at the end of regulation, the 3rd-and-3 quarterback draw with 19 seconds to go and no timeouts. That was a pretty high-risk call in that spot.
Yeah. No, I was sitting next to our guy Grant Paulson in the press box, and both of us were like, what was that? Like, if Mariota doesn't get out of bounds, we're having a huge discussion about what the heck was that. So, yeah, it's definitely a risky call for sure. I mean, I guess, you know, they obviously time these things out.
Yeah.
You know, so in their head, it's probably not that big of a deal. But it certainly, you know, it would have been that scrambled mode to get the ball spiked, which raises our anxiety level. But for them, this is what they practice and what they do. So, from that perspective, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, it worked out as it did. I think that Cliff Kingsbury, I think, called a pretty good game. I think the offensive line did a good job. The quick passing game made a lot of sense. Terry said after the game that their plan was to try to have longer extended drives. I mean, both obviously to keep their defense off the field a bit, but also to make Denver, you know, sort of have to defend the whole field and not just being able to, you know, tee off on, you know, third downs and things like that. So I thought overall they did a pretty good job. So, you know, if Cliff called that play and getting the benefit of the doubt, but it definitely was like, whoa, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I thought he had a great night considering the opponent and that they were still down their starting quarterback. But, yeah, the interesting thing is if it's a normal quarterback draw and it's a run up the middle and he gets the first down, there's plenty of time to get lined up and clock it. Once he broke it to the outside, now you get a longer play. And if he's not ruled out of bounds, it's still a first down, but now you got to hustle to clock it. You probably still get it done. The issue really for me is, what if he gets stopped on a longer play inbounds without getting the first down? Now you got to rush the field goal team out, you know, to do one of those jobs. That's where they took, I think, an unnecessary risk. I'd have thrown a fade deep into the right corner of the end zone for Burks, and maybe he catches it, and if he doesn't, you know, time to kick. But anyway, there were a couple of others. You know, the decision, I think, in today's game is, you know, heavily weighted that you should kick when you win the toss in overtime. But there's always context, and the context last night was Denver's defense was gassed and reeling at the end of regulation, and maybe Washington should have taken the ball first. I was fine with the decision. Did you think differently?
I was okay with it. You know, I think we're sort of trained to say take the ball first, but obviously the new rules are, you know, both teams are going to get a shot at the ball. And in this case, because Washington matched the touchdown, they were the team that could go for two and go for the win.
Well, go for fourth downs, too. They had four downs.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, in this new era, I don't have a huge issue with it. But you make a good point, though, that Denver's defense had been tired. I mean, that was crazy that it had a 18-play drive in 3 minutes. I mean, that is getting a lot of work in there in very short amount of time.
We had some false starts. We had a grounding. We had too many men on the field. We had all kinds of stuff going. I mean, it was a crazy. Yeah, you know, Tirico, who is just flat out the best, regardless of his pronunciation of Mariota's name. He said it at one point. He's like, man, this has been a hell of a football weekend. It's always a great weekend, but what a game to end the NFL weekend, although actually it ends tonight. But it really was, even for just any NFL fan, a terrific, compelling matchup, but game, as it turned out, and probably unexpected for most.
Oh, look, I mean, if you're an NFL fan and you've been subjected to watching Washington on these national TV games or like the Madrid one-game windows, you've watched largely blowouts. I mean, the Bears game obviously came down to the end, and the Dolphins game with overtime, but that matchup was just poor. The other game, I mean, Washington's 0-6 now, I think, in all the primetime games, including the Madrid game. So you've not watched very good football. This was, again, highly entertaining, and it showed, you know, if you compare where they were, the Bears game or the Seattle game, for sure, you know, the defense looks miles better than it did. So, you know, I think that's helpful. And again, like you said, Denver still was able to do a lot of what they wanted, but I felt that came down more to just, you know, that we know they're missing a lot of guys because of injury versus that they just all seem off. So, you know, that take that as a positive. But, I mean, I think they've got to be, again, they've got to be looking at Minnesota here as we got to get this. I mean, the next two games, really, Minnesota and the Giants, and the Giants game's obviously in
they're
going to
be toss-ups, just so everybody understands. The odds makers are going to have both of these games because they're on the road as toss-ups. I mean, it's just, you know, we feel after playing Bears, Cowboys, Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, and then the Dolphins, but then the Broncos, it's like, oh my God, finally you get a bit of a break on the schedule with teams that are really struggling. But this team's also lost, you know, seven in a row. Real quickly, did you have any issue with them going for two in the win?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, It would have been an interesting conversation if they were 8-3 versus 3-8. But at 3-8, oh, absolutely, go for it. I mean, a tie is not changing anybody's spirits, you know. If you lose, hey, you've already been losing, but you played a good game, go for the win, zero problem. And the play call, you know, look good. The only question I have, and I haven't really had a chance to go watch the All-22 yet, is how does Nick Benito, of all people, how is he the one that gets a free rush at the quarterback? You know, that to me is the one question. I mean, it looks like they just had more guys on that side than Washington had blockers, especially with the running back going into the...
Well, they were using those receivers on the side to basically clear it out for McNichols, who was wide open, you know. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so that part's tough, but no, I have zero problem going for two.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that on the All-22 here shortly. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you on Friday.
Yeah, man. See you.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. If you're still on hold, stay there. We got a line or two open, 301-230-0980 if you want to weigh in. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget all of our NFL discussion on this show is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Back after this.
Hey, John.
What up, guys?
So, should fans be encouraged by what they saw last night?
I think we saw the team that we expected more likely to see this season. You know, like that Denver's a good team. It's a very good defense. And yet that offense was able to move the ball consistently all night. And they were able to make plays in the pass game all night. And so I think like that's more what you expected. Now the defense, they're still missing things, obviously. But I think it's more – so I think you it's funny because, like, I think we're now at the point of the season, like, oh, my gosh, they almost won. Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a change. But, you know, after those 4 weeks of just brutal losses, I think you can be encouraged by at least, again, a reminder that, hey, when your best receiver is out there, things might look a little different, right?
Yeah,
and when you have
totally
a more healthier complement of receivers – it looks different. And I think, you know, you can't ignore that. And so I think that's the thing you can look at. Okay, the offense is there.
It's a game changer having Terry back, right? You're competitive. You have a chance to win the game. And it's a good reminder for folks, especially in this area. I mean, the fact is, look, 50% of the fans, you know, by the polls that we've done, or whatever, they kind of turned on him a little bit through the whole holdout and injury thing. And it's a good reminder, hey, at the end of the day, this is why they did give him what they gave him at his age. And that, you know, this is kind of an outlier, him being hurt like this. Because when he's out there, he gives you a great chance to win. And not having him and Jaden, you know, it's just been catastrophic to go with all the other injuries that have been, you know, hugely
one of those
negative. It's just been one of those terrible, terrible years. But that's why, kind of, John, we need Jaden, when he gets healthy, to come back and remind us of why we miss him too.
I agree. And, you know, to your point, like, teams that miss their starting quarterback and top receiver might struggle a little bit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just, you can't, again, it's not an excuse. It's a reality. Like, go look at that. But I agree with you. I think it's among the reasons why I think Jaden Daniels, he will come back when he's cleared, right? But I think it's important why he should come back. Mm-hmm. And it's part of it is, okay, get back out there. First of all, for him, you know, you don't want to go like 10 months without him taking a snap
in
a game.
Right.
You know, like that's just a lot, especially if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. How that would sit in the locker room if he was healthy and didn't play. Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like things like that. But from an on-field perspective, yes, you want to see what it looks like. You want to remind people what it looks like and get that going. At least say like, okay, this part is fine. You know, there's other holes on this team that everybody knows needs to get addressed. They need some more athleticism up front on D, that kind of stuff. We all know that. But like, at least you can say like, and there's still some parts that you'd want on offense, but it's more tinkering and maybe adding, you know, a key piece here or there, but like not as much as what you need on D. But it's just to get that rhythm going again. See what it would have looked like
and then get to the offseason.
John, did Cliff Kingsbury show the rest of the league a blueprint on how to slow down the Broncos' pass rush last night? I thought they did a really good job of keeping that pressure off of Mariota throughout the game.
They did, and they did in a variety. First of all, they stuck with the run. So I think any success that you have against that team has to begin with being able to run the ball, because you can at least keep them off balance a little bit. And when the score remains close, you can stick with the run game. And that was the key. But, you know, there's some moving of the pocket. There's just, you know, the tempo that they use. Like, all of it was good. Now, whether or not, like, other teams can go do that, we'll see. And I think Marcus, you know, did when at times when – and it wasn't even like – it's funny because when he had to scramble, it seemed like – and, that, you know, this is just – you know, without rewatching it, but like it seemed like when he had to scramble, it was usually came after he had a few seconds to throw. It wasn't like it was instant pressure, you know, outside of that last one. But so, yeah, I mean, you possibly could have, but, you know, the question is like, you know, I mean, listen, other teams have really good offensive talent that they'll face. So there's no reason not to. But I always say this too, like when I watched Kansas City before this game, part of what, you know, my thought was, okay, like what they showed in that game, and it wasn't like they're moving up and down the field in the game, but it was the get the 4 yards, stay ahead of the sticks, get 4 yards on a quick throw. Just, you know what I mean? Like things like that, like be content with that profit, and then you can attack later, which is what they did.
What do you expect, or when do you expect the announcement on Jaden this week?
Well, we'll hear today that there'll be an update on Wednesday, and then we'll know more on Friday. So that's, but I, you know, until he's cleared for contact, like if we find out today he's cleared for contact, there you go. Right. I don't know that we'll find that out today. I think, you know, then we'll know more on Wednesday, because we'll know, is he limited or full in practice? And it's not like they do, it's not like quarterbacks are contacted in practice, but you're not going to have him go full until he is.
Right.
So, like, I think we'll know more at that point for sure. And I, you know, it's certainly, there's a definite chance that he plays this weekend. I know that this was the game that I initially heard like a week or two ago, but you don't know yet. So for sure. And again, until he's clear for contact, we won't know, but that'll be the key.
John, this is the second week in a row where the defense has played better. I mean, it's certainly not a world beater, but you know, they're competent. You know, they give you a chance to win. As far as I'm concerned, they made six stops, right? Four punts and two field goals. That's pretty good. Gave you a chance to win the game. What are you seeing differently beyond the obvious, like more zone coverages, that kind of thing? People just seem more comfortable in their roles.
They do. And there's, well, there's a couple things. Miami and Denver aren't as good an offense as some of these other teams. So, like, and I don't, not to like take anything away, but I think that's a legit thing, right? But having said that, even in their assignments, they're just more sound and disciplined. So, and some of that I do believe comes from, you know, whether it's paring down more, paring, you know, eliminating certain, maybe certain rules from a defense, right? Like certain rules from a coverage, like instead of like, okay, on this play, if they get this look, it's either this or this, it's like on this look, it's this. So, you know, maybe it leads to a play, but not a busted play with a huge gain. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's like eliminating some of that, I think has helped more. They, you know, I know against Miami a lot more zone, and last night looked like more zone. Of course, some of that could be you lost two corners that you like to play press man with Amos and Lattimore. But the bottom line is it's they've been more sound. And then the hard part is they still aren't able to generate a lot of pressure up front. And that's just, I don't think that's going to change a whole lot, because you need, you know, the dudes who can really bring it. And they've had, you know, with, I mean, Dorrance Armstrong still leads them in sacks. So, but you can, like, there are a couple of times where they were able to create some pressure with a lot more movement up front, with, you know, Frankie going around the end one time and cutting back and getting a sack and, you know, things like that. So, but I do think in the back end, I think like eliminating some of that has helped the communication, because it's just, I don't know, simplified it, but pared down, it seems to be the word. But and I know, like in talking to Quinn before the Dolphins game, his big thing was like, hey, they would run, they would go over all these plays, right, and go over and over and over until they got it right. And if they weren't getting it right, it's like, then that's out of the playbook. So, you know what I mean? Take some out that they're not comfortable with or it's not working.
John Keim from ESPN joins us on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We were debating the running game and the running backs and whether they need to go out and get a number one guy via the draft or in the offseason. But I wanted to ask you about Bill specifically. At one point in the season, it seemed like he was the number one back, right? He runs for over 100 yards against the Chargers. They give him 17 carries against the Chicago Bears. And since then, he's, you know, dropped off precipitously and yesterday had just 4 carries. What has been the reason why he's not getting the carries anymore?
That's a good question. I think part of it too is the emergence of Rodriguez, or at least like going to him more and him being very productive. So I think that's a definite part of it. And he's been consistent with it too. Right. And usually when usually with running backs, like if you're, you know, are you hitting your tracks? Are you running the way you're hitting your path, right? Like things like that always add up. And whether that's his case or not, I can't necessarily say that, but I do know Rodriguez has been very consistent and he's getting yards and, you know, he's getting, you know, good yards after contact as well. And I know like with Bill, like early in the year, there was a little bit more concern about like maybe durability, but that doesn't explain it all because you can still play him a little bit more and give him a little bit more work. But, you know, and then the pass game always plays a factor in that, but he's improving there. You watch him do a lot of stuff with him on the side, throughout the year, just kind of working on that aspect of it. And, you know, this is a guy, like I said, like before, like he didn't play last year, you know, and he didn't play at a high level, before. So I think there is a definite adjustment. I think there's obviously still something there with him, because he does provide some energy and, you know, he's got, like, you see the good vision, patience and all that. But I do, you know, I think with Rodriguez though, I was wondering earlier, like, why isn't Rodriguez getting a little bit more? Because when he would go in, like, he had a really good summer and, you know, then nothing. And, you know, then he'd go in there and do fine, like in a few carries and then not much. So like that to me was a surprise as well.
So what were the guys like afterwards, like sort of the mood of them all? Because they did play better, but they lost. They've now cemented a guaranteed losing season. You know, now really playing for pride, really, at this point. It's been that way for a while, but I mean, it's kind of cemented yesterday. Did you, you know, I mean, I felt like DQ was kind of resigned the last few weeks. Personally didn't hear him yesterday. What was he like?
I think resigned is a good word. And I think after a while you become numb to certain things. I think there was definitely an element of, and maybe it's part of the questions being asked too, like, because again, like we were talking, hey, the bar has been set low over the last 6 weeks or so. So when you come close to going over it, it's like, oh my gosh, what was better? And I think there was at least like with McLaurin back, a lot of the questions were like how he felt coming back and the impact of him coming back to others, right? And so, you know, Trey Burks, like his catch, like it was a little bit of a different feeling after a 7th straight loss, where I think there was still, for at least on the offensive side, an element of, hey, this is what could have been, you know. So it was a little bit different than after like the Dolphins loss, which was a real gut punch. I mean, both were, but, you know, I think that one especially is just like, I think that one stung them quite a bit. Nobody's ever upbeat and thrilled after a loss. But
right.
Like, there were things that you could say like, okay, that looked good. That looked like the team that they expected to be this year.
JK, was Tevita Pritchard there last night?
Yes. That was his last game.
Oh, it's his last game. Okay.
Yeah, headed off to Stanford. I believe there's a press conference there today. So
I was going to say, the early signing period's this week. He's got to get over there. Yeah. Who takes over as QB coach?
David Blau is the natural choice.
Oh, Blau, okay.
He's been the assistant QB coach, very highly thought of, very good rapport with Jaden. I mean, those two love talking trash to one another, love competing against one another. And not that that necessarily is like, oh, that means he's going to be a great coach, but it's about the rapport they have. Like, you know what I mean? And that is a good rapport. And I think that's important with any quarterback that you have that. And so like that exists. And Tevita, he and Cliff and Jaden would do those early morning walkthroughs when he's healthy and playing, do his early morning walkthroughs 3 days a week. But Blau is the one that like does a lot of stuff with him as well. Wasn't part of that yet, but he would be now. But so that's the natural succession, and he's a guy that, you know, Kingsbury brought him here because he really liked him when he coached him, felt he was really smart and would be a good coach. So I think it's, you know, the natural elevation is that. And the other part, too, is you don't want to lose him. And I think he's a guy that he had there were some nibbles last offseason. I think if Cliff went somewhere else, I could see him wanting to bring him. I don't know that it would. But you know what I mean? So I think this kind of big, there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense to elevate him.
Hey, if you had to guess, and this is a guess for all of us, will Bobby Wagner be back next year for the Commanders?
If I had to guess, I wouldn't think so. I don't know how much he wants to keep playing. You know, he's graduating from Howard soon with an MBA. So I don't, you know, like he's got a lot of designs on post football. I don't know what his desire is. And I think from their end, like you have a guy in Jordan McGee that you feel can play that spot. And if they still feel that way, then it just makes sense to go younger there. And you know what I mean? So that would be my guess, but.
Well, hopefully, you know, even though the season's done, we'll see Jaden on Sunday against the Vikings.
Listen, man, it makes it more fun. It makes the games more fun to watch.
Right.
I mean, certainly.
You're seeing this kind
Terry
of
too, also, yeah, Terry too, though. Terry too. Man, he makes a difference.
Oh, for sure. And then I always bring up, like, and maybe Noah Brown's back. And I know what people, like, we've heard that before. And so I agree. Like, but, you know, hey, listen, if it's Terry, Debo, and Trey Burks, like, Burks is a guy that could factor here next year too. So, you know, let's see him.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a great catch.
Totally.
All right, JK.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. I know. What time did you get home yesterday? About 5?
I stay in a hotel after those games. So I'm like, I'm somewhere in Tyson's. I would have gotten home about 4:30 or 4:45.
Right.
So.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for calling us, though.
All right. Enjoy, buddy. All right, pal. Thank you.
That's John Keim. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
JK lives west of me.
Yeah, yeah. What does he live? What's the name of his town again?
I think
he always talks about it.
I think he's in Round Hill.
I thought you used to always say I live. You used to make
Berryville.
Berryville, isn't that where he lives?
I don't think so, but maybe. But
he was in that area.
He's west of me. He's like Western Loudoun.
Yeah.
So to get from the stadium to Western Loudoun,
right?
Even at, you know, when there's no one on the Beltway, still takes a while.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy.
Well, he'll get to rest earlier this season because there's no postseason.
Yeah. No, definitely no postseason. Guaranteed a losing season. I kept trying to wrap my brain around some way to avoid that. There's no way of avoiding that. We're having a losing record this year.
Yes.
Yeah, it sucks.
That is true.
When we come back, let's get into the effort level. Most people thought they played harder last night. What did you see and why? 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.